awesome. I journey with the young people here at this church.
Well, that fuzzy noise, eh? Today, you know, Mick's kind of blessed me with this passage. When I say bless, I actually feel like I was given this passage. I mean, technically, he did give it to me. So, yeah. As I was prepping the sermon, I really struggled with this passage. A bit like the way that I struggled with the Warriors, you know. same way. So, yeah, I guess, you know, let's just pray before we begin. And, yeah, because I really need some help. Let's just pray, guys. Dear Lord, I just thank you for who you are, Lord. We just thank you for who you are, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that you are love, Lord. We thank you that your love is full of grace and just full of truth as well. Lord, we just thank you that you came down to this earth to teach us how to love, Lord. And Lord, as we explore this passage, may we discover something that will make us better ambassadors of you, Lord. Lord, teach us how to love you. Teach us how to love others. And also, Lord, teach us how to love ourselves. And everybody said. So yeah, about a couple of weeks ago, you know, on that Friday, I was, you know, getting ready to prep the sermon. The reason why I was prepping so early is because I had university the following week. So I was like, man, I want to get in the zone. I want to get a head start. So, you know, throughout the week, you know, I can gather some thoughts together and I could start piecing the sermon up together. But on that Friday, when I stepped into my office, hoping I could, you know, start piecing my sermon up together, to cut a long story short, you know, the whole day I was interrupted, you know. People came in, people came out, you know, things needed to get done, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I was interrupted the whole day. You know, everyone and everything interrupted me. And I was like, ah, never going to write the sermon. You know, I was quite, you know, gutted, you know, and I was quite frustrated and annoyed, you know. And at the end of the night, after tribal, you know, I was like, you know, a little bit pissed off. And I was like, man, I'm never going to get this done. So I was like, when I head to bed, I was like, man, I better, you know, get at least one read through this passage, you know, just to get some sort of start on it. So I started reading this passage, you know, and I was reading Acts 12, and I was like, whoa, actually, what's going on here? I started noticing that in this passage itself, you know, there were so many interruptions, you know, in this passage, and I was just like, whoa, you know, there must be something. So let me just point out the interruptions to you guys, and so then you guys get a feel of the story as well. So in Acts 12, you know, there's this guy called King Herod, you know, King Herod, you know, he's actually the grandson of King Herod during Jesus' birth, so it's not the same person. This is the grandson of that guy. So this King Herod, you know, in Acts 12, he's this guy who's really into politics, you know, he's into all these things, you know, to improve his popularity. You know, it's a bit like, you know, those politicians out there campaigning in Manurewa right now, you know, they're trying to get their popularity up, you know, just like all politicians, I reckon. And during the time, you know, of Israel, you know, during the time, you know, the view was that these so-called Christians, you know, they're responsible for corrupting Judaism with Gentiles. You know, they just thought this was wrong. They just thought it was, you know, disgusting. So then King Herod, you know, began persecuting these Christians. And all of a sudden he became politically popular. You know, because this pleased many of his citizens. They're like, man, good job, King Herod. And when King Herod, you know, killed and beheaded James, you know, he saw that his popularity just skyrocketed up. And so he decides to persecute more Christians. And finally, you know, he captures Peter, you know, the so-called ringleader of these Christians. And he wants to kill Peter, you know, just to get more of that popularity, just to get his movement going. But when he captures Peter, he happens to catch Peter during, you know, the festival of unleavened bread, known as the Passover. And, you know, during the Passover, you know, people would travel from throughout the known world to celebrate this occasion, whether they were Jewish or non-Jewish. And, you know, King Herod, you know, being this guy, being this politician, you know, he wanted to show his people that he actually observed the Passover. So Peter's execution would actually, you know, be quite inappropriate during the feast. And actually, it actually could cause a riot, you know, during this festival. And also, he knew that, you know, if he killed Peter now, he really wouldn't have the full attention of the Jewish population because they were out celebrating Passover. So, from a political point of view for King Herod, you know, this was a good move to not to kill Peter, but to throw him in jail, because this would maintain his political position and popularity. So, the first interruption, the Passover, interrupts Peter's death. And then King Herod, you know, he puts Peter in prison, you know, and Peter is waiting to die, a bit like death row, you know, just waiting until Passover is finished. And of course, there's tight security. You know, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with chains between them and with guards at his entrance, at his cell. I mean, Peter by now, you know, he was a good con artist. You know, he's escaped prisons before, you know, a bit like in Acts 5, how he escaped jail. And then an angel appears and breaks Peter out of prison. An angel interrupts Peter's death again. And once Peter breaks out of prison, you know, Peter, you know, of course, you know, he's got to tell a few friends, you know, that he's safe and he's okay. So he arrives at this house. And, you know, and these friends, they've been praying earnestly for him, you know, just praying for him. And then Peter knocks and a girl answers. He probably goes, you know, hey, open up, I'm safe. And when the girl recognizes Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran towards the people, you know, back to the people who were praying, going, you know what, Peter's at the door, Peter's at the door. You know, this girl, she interrupts prayer, in a sense. But to be fair, they're praying for Peter. And the next bit of the story, you know, King Herod is out, you know, like a king, you know, like a politician, you know, sorting out conflict. And he's sorting out conflict with Tyre and Sidon. And Tyre and Sidon, they were, you know, seaport and trade towns. And they actually had a level of political independence as well. But they depended on King Herod, you know, for their food supply. And these towns, you know, they kind of wanted to make peace with King Herod. The commentaries don't say why there was a bit of conflict, but they said there was conflict. And also the reason why they wanted to sort this conflict out was because at this time, there was a famine during this time. And probably the towns, they needed better business and commercial relations with the king to actually survive this famine. So when King Herod's about to give the speech, you know, of course, you know, this speech, it is, you know, made with the intention to be, you know, I guess, to increase his political popularity and his position. So he's giving this speech to bring peace, but also in the same time, you know, to gain more popularity. So he's giving the speech, you know, to bring peace to the conflict. And then the people, they started praising King Herod, you know, as if he was a god. For this part, I bet you King Herod probably enjoyed being called a god, not a king. And then an angel interrupts his parade. And then all of a sudden, you know, the story is interrupted again. It jumps straight to, you know, Barnabas and Saul. It's just full of interruptions, this passage. So you can imagine how I was on that Friday night after tribal, you know, in my bed reading this passage. You know, how I was interrupted the whole day and reading this passage on Friday night. And seeing all these interruptions, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then what was more awesome, on that same weekend, on that Sunday night, we were watching John Orkbird's DVD, and he spoke about the ministry of interruption. And I was like, wow, I think this is what I'm going to talk about. You know, because I was like, man, two signs are enough. I don't want to be like Peter and wait for a third, you know. So I was just like, you know what? Let's go with interruptions. So during that week, you know, I was putting some thoughts and some reflections into this idea of interruptions, or kind of interruptions, how we see them. I guess, you know, the first thought I came up with is that, you know, I think, you know, the word interruption or interruptions itself, I think we've actually welded or put negative connotations with the word interrupt. Like, we think interruptions are rude, annoying, frustrating, irritating. You know, the dictionary meaning for interrupt means to break, to burst between an action, event, or situation. You know, to burst, to break between an action, situation, or event. Even the definition is a little bit rude when you think about it. Fiona, could you chuck up the slides? So yeah, I guess, who recognizes this place? Piha, yep, what's that? Wow, awesome, cool. Yeah, it's such a beautiful place. I love it. The next one, yes, what is that? Any ideas? Same place? Yeah, good shot. Piha Lion Rock. My question to you guys, what is different about these pictures? Perspective, yes? Yes, perspective. Angle. We can chuck those slides down. So, I guess today, I really want to introduce a different angle to look at interruptions. Just like how we saw Piha, Lion's Rock, you know, different angle at looking at them. I actually believe that, you know, our God, he likes to interrupt. You know, if you look at our whakapapa of the Bible, if you look at the history of the Bible, you know, God has interrupted, you know, time and time again in our history, in human history. You know, when Abraham was going to sacrifice a son, God interrupts. When the Egyptians oppressed the Israelites and it seemed like there was no hope, God sent Moses to deliver the Israelites out of slavery. You know, God interrupts. You know, when Jonah goes to do his own thing and run the other way, you know, God interrupts. You know, when Jesus was on earth throughout the gospel, time and time again, you know, Jesus himself was interrupting people or being interrupted by people. You know, and there are so many more times in the Bible where God interrupts, whether this was through himself, angels, or his people. You know, I believe that our God likes to interrupt. I think God interrupts because he cares about his creation. You know, that is you and me. You know, us and people out there and this whole earth. I mean, when sin and death was going to have the final word on his creation and on humanity, you know, God interrupts sin and says, no, life will have the final word. Not death, but life. You know, God interrupts because he cares. You know, that there's something special about the word care. Care comes from the word kara, from the Gothic language. And care literally means, kara actually literally means, you know, to cry out with. You know, the most important word in this phrase is with. You know, meaning present, being present in the crying. Being present, being with someone, being present at their experience, at their situation. And I believe that, you know, these interruptions in Acts 12, you know, actually shows that God cares. And that God is present and active when the church was being persecuted. I believe that God still interrupts today. I mean, if we look at our own lives, you know, when you look back, I'm sure you can clearly see a moment that God has interrupted in your life. I mean, Peter didn't even know when he was in prison that he was being interrupted. But until he got out of prison and reflected and went, wow, actually God interrupted. Now, I want you to imagine if God didn't interrupt our individual lives, you know, would you be sitting here right now? You know, God interrupts, you know, to show that he cares and is present in our broken world. This is the different angle I want you to see interruptions through today. I think the reason why we find interruptions so rude, annoying, frustrating, or irritating is because in life, you know, we create a list of things, you know, what we feel, think, believe, or assume is important, you know, and then we start ranking them, we start making a hierarchy of them. And, you know, this includes me, I've got a list. You know, we either do it consciously or subconsciously. And then all of a sudden we allow our lives to be busy or full on, you know, with this list that we've just created and ranked. Then when something interrupts us, and if it isn't important according to our own list, of course we're going to find this rude or frustrating. But what if our lists that we've created in our minds, that we've ranked and hierarchied in our minds, of what we feel, think, believe, or assume is important, what if it isn't in line with what God reckons is important or cares about? You know, what if interruptions show us and other people what is in our hearts of hearts? What if interruptions happen to simply allow us to reflect and analyze what is important at this very present moment? What if interruptions remind us to live in the present and to engage with reality? What if interruptions call us to care about what is actually happening right here, right now? About 3 months ago, I think I had a couple of nephews from Malaysia that came visit us and just stayed with us over, I think, a couple of months or something like that. One's about 3.5, and one's about 1.5, so fun ages, real fun ages, really. And one night, I was, you know, over at my parents' house, and they were there, they were around. And I had an assignment due, you know, at the very next day. So before dinner, I decided to get some work done, you know. And as I was trying to get some work done, my nephews, they kept on interrupting me. And honestly, in that moment, man, I almost turned Hulk. I was like, man, these kids, man, frustrating, annoying, man. But then, when they were interrupting me, I kind of realized that, you know, when they leave New Zealand, I probably wouldn't know when the next time I'd see them again. So I decided to drop my assignment to spend more time with them. I think we live in this culture, you know, that calls us to simply care about ourselves. But Jesus calls us to care about other people too. There's that tension. What if interruptions are a way to ask us to care about the people right in front of us right now? When Jesus walked the earth, you know, his ministry flowed from people interrupting him. You know, when every single person interrupted Jesus, you know, Jesus was present, you know, with all his heart, all his mind, his soul, body, just to care for that person. I personally believe that we are called to bring down the kingdom here on earth, here in New Zealand, here in Manurewa. And maybe we need to be open to interruptions. Maybe when we are simply present and we simply care for the person, people, or situation that has interrupted you. And then maybe, you know, interruptions, they can become a way, an opportunity, a moment to allow people to witness the gospel and to see that the kingdom is actually coming to this broken world. Maybe. But I guess, you know, this starts with us being open to interruptions. And during that week, you know, there was this other question I wanted to ask God, because I kind of saw him interrupting throughout the whole Bible, you know, but he didn't interrupt for some things. I wanted to ask God, why do you interrupt some things, but not everything? I mean, you know, God probably could have interrupted and stopped James, you know, earlier in that passage from dying, or those guards, prison guards from dying. He could have. I mean, you know, God, I wanted to ask him, why don't you interrupt poverty, famine, injustice, war? You know, the list could go on, you know, of all the bad things happening in this world right now. Then I realized, what would happen if God asked me the same question? Why didn't you interrupt Wilson? I think the reason why God doesn't interrupt everything is because he wants me and you and us to interrupt this broken world. I think, you know, God gives us a choice, you know, that it's really up to us whether if we want to see his kingdom down on earth or not. You know, Jesus went around interrupting people the whole time. You know, he interrupted when injustice was happening. He interrupted when discrimination was happening. He interrupted when things were not fair was going on. I think we need to interrupt when we see these things happening around us. Because when we interrupt injustice, discrimination, poverty, and war, when we actually interrupt these things, this actually shows that, you know, we care about others, that we actually love and care for our neighbors. But to be fair, you know, already, I think we as a church, we're actually pretty good at interrupting. We're actually really, really good at interrupting. Because we know that, you know, poverty, famine, injustice, you know, they're so present in the third world. You know, we did the micro challenge to interrupt poverty, famine, and injustice. You know, we did the micro charity to raise money to give entrepreneurs an opportunity to break the cycle of brokenness. You know, we interrupted. We literally said to poverty, famine, injustice, and brokenness that you won't win. You know, God's kingdom's going to come down. You guys won't win. That poverty, famine, injustice, and brokenness, you know, we said that you will not destroy any lives anymore. You know, we interrupted because we care about our brothers and sisters suffering on the other side of the world. So be encouraged, you know, we're good at interrupting. And I want to encourage you guys, you know, to keep on interrupting brokenness, evil, and injustice, you know, wherever you are. On a global scale, in our nation, and in our communities. And also, you know, this idea of interruption or being interrupted or interrupting other people, you know, it can sound a little bit scary or embarrassing, you know. Let me share you guys a story. You know, this one time I came home and I heard screaming from my neighbor's house. And these screams were terrible. So I decided to approach the door and just to knock and see, you know, what was actually going on. As I, you know, started knocking, the screams just kept on getting worse and terrible. And I was prepared, you know, to jump the fence, you know, just to make sure, you know, everything was okay. As I walked away from the door, the mother opened up and I saw a little child on the floor throwing a tantrum. And I just said, hey, I heard some screams, and I just thought I'll check it out. And she goes, no, it's fine. And I just felt really awkward, you know, embarrassed. You know, I just felt like an egg. And then it was until a month later, you know, I went for a run, and I saw the mother in the driveway, and she stopped me. And she said, hey, I really appreciated what you did the other day, which was like a month later, but she said the other day. And she said this line. She said, you know, it's good to know that, you know, we have neighbors that care. You know, that's what interruptions show. So don't be embarrassed to interrupt something. You know, I was embarrassed. You know, when we interrupt, we care for others. You know, one of my favorite quotes is from the movie Gangster Squad. And the quote goes like this, you know, evil prevails when good men do nothing. So let's be prepared to interrupt. I guess to finish up, you know, let's be people, you know, who are open to interruptions. Let's be people who are willing to be interrupted. You know, the truth is that, you know, interruptions are actually opportunities for us to bring the kingdom down here to this broken world. And let's be people, you know, who are ready to take these opportunities up to spread the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you that you, you know, you care about us. Thank you, you know, that you interrupted sin and death for us. It's just so that we can have life to the fullest. Thank you for interrupting our own individual lives. And Lord, let us respond to interruptions in the way that you would. And let us interrupt the way that you would, Lord. Lord, give us opportunities to love this hurting, broken world. And everybody said,